Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Who is there, desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel, who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? In the purport. The age of Kali is the most condemned age due to its quarrelsome features. Kali Yuga is so saturated with vicious habits that there is a great fight at the slightest misunderstanding. Those who are engaged in the pure devotional service of the Lord, who are without any desire for self-aggrandizement, and who are freed from the effects of fruitive actions and dry philosophical speculations, are capable of getting out of the entrenchments of this complicated age. The leaders of the people are very much anxious to live in peace and friendship, but they have no information of the simple method of hearing the glories of the Lord. On the contrary, such leaders are opposed to the propagation of the glories of the Lord. In other words, the foolish leaders want to completely deny the existence of the Lord. In the name of secular state, such leaders are enacting various plans every year. But by the insurmountable intricacies of the material nature of the Lord, all these plans for progress are being constantly frustrated. They have no eyes to see that their attempts of peace and friendship are failing. But here is the hint to get over the hurdle. If we want actual peace, we must open the road to understanding of the Supreme Lord Krishna and glorify Him for His virtuous activities as they are depicted in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kova bhagavatastasya punya shlokidya karmanaha shuddhi kamo na shrinuyat yasha kali malapaham. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel, who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? Om Gyanandamindasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Giriraj Swamini Ti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Ti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarini Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pongum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dena Tarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So Radha Gokulananda is giving us their blessings in time. So I understand that you're again starting with the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so I think you must have gone through up to the 10th canto and coming back to the first canto. And I think it's a good idea to put the whole Bhagavatam in context. So this first canto is actually a prelude to the speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukdev Goswami appears at the end of the first canto and he speaks his first words in the second canto. So this whole Srimad Bhagavatam first canto is a prelude to the speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is the purpose of this first canto? It's the same as Bhagavad Gita is a concise presentation of the whole Vedic literature. And it's also a nutshell of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it follows the same pattern. So the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is the prelude to Srimad Bhagavatam, to Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Krishna listens to Arjuna speaking and starts with a narration of Sanjaya to Dhritarashtra, who is relaying the message of Krishna to Arjuna. This is the system of parampara. Sanjaya is hearing Krishna speak and he's relaying the exact same message, word to word, to Dhritarashtra. This is the system parampara. And so this is the first, follows the same pattern here, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So the history of Mahabharata is in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the battle of Kurukshetra. And this first canto is the same thing, it's the battle of Kurukshetra, or the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, and what happens afterwards. So the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Sama Veta Yutsavaha Mama Ka Pandavascheva Kima Kurvata Sanjaya. So the question is asked, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre. Kshetra means a field of activity. Something is going to happen there. Each one of us, we've got a field of work, a field of activity. And this particular field of activity was called Kurukshetra. But something very specific about it was Dharma Kshetra. It's a field of work where dharma is happening. So Dhritarashtra was in anxiety what's going to happen in that particular field, which has a qualification of dharma attached to it. So this first canto has the same purpose, is to establish dharma. So the sages of Naimisharanya are assembled, and they have one concern. What's their concern? That this is the age of Kali. The age of Kali is the age of adharma. Adharma means no knowledge, no understanding, no awareness that there is something called religious principles. People believe that they are independent, and that's the conditioned soul. The very root cause of the fall down of the soul in this material world is independence. We want to be independent of Krishna. So Kali Yuga is the perfect time to exhibit our independence. So how do we manifest it? By unrestricted enjoyment and walking over others, crushing down other people for my own self-enjoyment. So, but Krishna has a plan for this world. So what is that plan? It is rectification of the soul. And therefore, there are rules that we call dharma. So those fortunate souls, specifically human beings, so the soul transmigrates into so many different species of life and finally comes to human life. And human life is only 5% of the whole of existence. 84 lakh species of life and 4 lakh only are human species. 4 lakh means 5%. And out of these 4 lakh, not everybody is civilized. The majority are uncivilized. And then comes more finer and finer levels of human beings. And finally comes those who follow the laws of Varnashram Dharma. So here comes the point of dharma. So this first canto starts with this particular concern that here we are in the age of Kali And we're people who are becoming animalistic, who are simply in the mood of enjoyment. What to do for them? How can they become liberated? So Krishna is very kind. So Krishna came at the end of Dwapara Yuga and enacted the whole pastime with the Pandavas, established the Pandavas on the throne, and then he departed. And when he departed, where did religion go? That was the question. Where did religion go? So the answer is that Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna left behind Srimad Bhagavatam. What is Srimad Bhagavatam? So this verse 16, speaking about it. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel? Kali is the age of quarrel. Why? What are we quarreling over? We are quarreling over dominion over material nature. So animals, they naturally quarrel. Right? Monkeys quarrel, dogs quarrel. But for human beings to quarrel is not natural. Unless they are uncivilized. So the age of Kali is the age of quarrel. So Prabhupada says here, this age of Kali is the most condemned age. So in previous ages, when Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, or Satya Yuga, in those ages, the soul had full opportunity to develop and attain liberation. The opportunity is always there. Right now it's available. But the opportunity was taken up. Those souls who took birth in those ages, they were ready to take up the opportunity. It's given to them and they take it up. But in Kali Yuga, the opportunity is not taken up. Therefore, it's condemned. And I think maybe it's one of the verses which you already read. What are these characteristics of the... Oh, yes, it is. In this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. And Prabhupada explained, you already went through this section, why people have short lives, because they don't eat properly, plain and simple. They have poisoned the whole world, so there's no proper food. They're irregular in their eating, sleeping and mating habits. So therefore, short lifespan. They are lazy. Opportunity for spiritual realization is given to them, but they are too lazy. They are not interested. They are misguided. Too many philosophies floating around. So they are confused and misguided. They are unlucky. Even though you give them Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, they don't take. Therefore, they are unlucky. And above all, always disturbed. So if their mind is constantly thinking of something else, brooding over nonsensical things, then there's so much disturbance in the mind. This is the age of Kali. And the vices of the age of Kali? Eating meat, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. This is the time for those who want to enjoy these things without restrictions. So who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel, who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? So Srila Prabhupada says, qualifies the age of Kali, says it's the most condemned age. Why? Because of its quarrelsome features. So Prabhupada says, that quarrel happens, a great fight happens at the slightest misunderstanding among friends, among family members, among communities, nations, and the world. Slightest misunderstanding. But how can we escape from it? So Prabhupada is saying by pure devotional service. So now Prabhupada gives a solution. It's a very short purport, but Prabhupada's purport are packed with so much information. So here, the method of the devas, the method of the demons, how to counteract the inconveniences of the age of Kali. So when human beings mess up this beautiful kingdom of God, the material world at the end of the day is the kingdom of God. Is given to us by God. And he gives us a beautiful garden, like Satyuga. Even some years ago, a beautiful garden, this world. But what do? We mess it up. Why? Because we want to control. And when we break all the rules of Dharma, which we believe to be, now we speak of natural laws, or we speak of nature, and we put out the person who is not very visible to us. God is not visible to us. Nature is more visible. So at the best, we speak of nature. So when we put out God, who is the controller of nature, and we break the regulative principles of Dharma, we naturally also break the principles of nature, and we mess up nature. So when nature gets disturbed, then the demons have their method. They want to fix those, they want to put back nature in its original state. They want to fix it. Like we can see, I just thought, you know, I'm in England, it's my second time I've come to England, and I'm very cold. And where I'm staying actually with Vrinda Devi and Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu. So I'm just looking around the houses, and I saw one outlet with steam coming out. So I asked, what is this? What's that steam coming out? And then I just remembered, you know, for me it's like fairy tale, you know, when there was this fire furnace, there was a chimney. I don't know, you're from England, you know what I'm talking about. I never seen anything like this. I only saw them in fairy tale books and, you know, in movies maybe, right? And then I realized that the natural way of living was firewood, right? Is it so? Firewood. So we light fire and we warm up our houses, warm up ourselves, right? But gradually everything became electrical. Is it so? Then central heating, right? So central heating, like the AC, you know, which is very contradictory. You know, I discovered all those, for me, they're all gadgets, you know, which I never used, but I started gradually seeing the AC, the aircon, right? So it's cooling on one side and it is heating on another side, right? And then I saw water dripping. I said, what's all this? So it's such an arrangement. And all that gradually came from firewood. From firewood to a heating system that is dependent on what? On petroleum, right? Electricity and petroleum. So the world is full of, you know, the trees. That's okay. Nature's given us some quota. I have a chetra, there's a quota. I'm allowed to take a certain number of wood, and I guess they grow up again. I really don't know. I don't think they chop off the whole tree. They must be taking off branches, right? Meaning that it can be replenished. by nature. And now you want petroleum. What do? Petroleum is not easily available. You have to drill down into the earth. And I think the third canto of Prabhupada explained that this petroleum actually is meant to keep the balance of the earth. I guess that's what I read. You know? So what is meant for our use is kept floating on the surface of earth. What is not meant for our use is kept deep inside the earth. Alright, so this is called laws of dharma. Laws of dharma, meaning everybody has a place and a utility. The tree has its own dharma. It gives fruits, it gives wood, it facilitates us. So when there is cooperation between humans and nature, following the laws of dharma, we live fine and peacefully. All right. So here Prabhupada says that in the name of secular state, meaning throughout dharma, such leaders are enacting various plans every year. So now what to do? So we replace firewood with electricity and the whole stuff about petroleum. And then we create an imbalance in the climate, actually. I said, you know, like coal on one side and heat on the other side and dripping water. So with all this extra, this is what I read, with all this extra heating, finally there's what we call the famous global warming, right? And nobody's going to give up the AC or the central heating, nobody, or the fan, nobody. At one time in India, they didn't use the fan. Why? Because people didn't live piled up on top of each other. There was enough space between houses, and there were trees, and there's a nice cool air. All right, that's nature. So when we make our own plans and we create our cities and the whole stuff that we just described, then we mess up nature, then nature reacts on us. So instead of decreasing the cold, we increase the cold. So this is what happens. This is how nature, and behind material nature is the Supreme Lord. So punishment. Punishment through the laws of karma. So Prabhupada said, but the insurmountable intricacies of the material nature of Lord, of the Lord, all these plans for progress are being constantly frustrated. I'm just giving one example of how it happens. So Prabhupada says that here the hint is being given. So they have no eyes to see that their plans, their attempts at peace and friendship are failing. No eyes to see. Because we require eyes to see God. Actually, from the Bhagavatam itself, I think first canto itself, I think Queen Kunti, prayers of Queen Kunti. So Queen Kunti describes how there is a curtain, and this is, which is shielding our vision and not allowing us to see the Supreme Lord. So Krishna, Vishnu, creates this whole world, give it to us as a gift, right? This is the gift of God, the conditioned soul. A place where we can enjoy. So Krishna is very kind. He gives us all facilities. No, no, it's not that he just put us, you know, in the dungeon. No, he gives us a very nice place. He gives us all facilities. Enjoy. And chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, satisfy the devas, enjoy, and follow the rules of dharma and gradually become detached and go back home, back to Godhead. That's the plan. But Krishna creates the material nature And then he becomes invisible. Why does he become invisible? Because we don't want him. He hides in the hearts of the jivas. But here, Sutta Goswami is being requested by the sages of Naimisharanya. So those sages, they have some inclination to hear about God. And therefore, they met Sutta Goswami. And finally, Shukadev Goswami will appear on the scene. So Krishna is visible, is accessible to those who are willing. Only to those who are willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord. So Prabhupada ends this purport, he says. But here's the hint to get over the hurdle. If we want actual peace, we must open the road to understanding the Supreme Lord Krishna and glorify Him. Understand Him and glorify Him, appreciate Him. So the root cause of our fall down in this world is envy. Envy means, why should he have, why should she have, and why should I not have? So why should Krishna be God? Why should he be the supreme enjoyer? And why should I not also enjoy? And why should I bow down to this person? Why should we all bow down to this person? Why should others not bow down to me? That's envy. So here the contrary is being expressed. So what is the contrary? That we bow down to the Supreme Lord. We glorify Him, we praise Him, we appreciate His activities. In the material world, why should not everybody praise me and appreciate my activities? So those who want deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel, they are willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord. So this is an appreciation of the Supreme Lord. Then Prabhupada gives the qualification for those who want to hear the glories of the Lord. They are devotees, only devotees. Now there are others who do want to follow the path of Dharma, but they have some type of motivation. So there are three types of motivation that Prabhupada describes. Number one, he says, those who have desire for self-aggrandizement. So you see how we get caught. Even when we don't want to be vikarmis or sinful people, we want to tread the path of Dharma, but even there are some type of hurdle. So what are those hurdles? So Prabhupada says, number one, a desire for self-aggrandizement. Like the yogis. The yogis, they can become extremely powerful by their mystic powers. And the second one are those who are the karmis. They are following the laws of Dharma, but they want to enjoy the fruits of their work. So the karmis. And then the jnanis. So the jnanis, they have understood that I'm in a very precarious position in this material world, so they want to come out from it, but they still don't want to surrender to Krishna. So what do they want to do? They merge in Brahman. So even in the path of self-realization, even in the path of Dharma, there are still rungs, there are ladder that we have to climb one by one. So this is the purport to this verse. And I was also asked to speak a little bit on, was that Bhishma? What do you call it? Bhishma Pancha? How'd you say it? Yeah, the last 5 days of Ekadashi. So, we're going to relate the two now. Because this purport is so apt for this discussion. So, this is, I'll just take a few minutes. I think my time is up. So, this last 5 days of Kartik, when we follow the Vrat, Kartik Vrat, Urja Vrat. So, actually, I'd like to speak more about bhakti. We're in the system of bhakti yoga. And Prabhupada here speaks of pure devotional service. And Kartik Vrat is counted among the 64 item of sadhana bhakti, as described in Nectar of Devotion. And it's referred to as Urja Vrat, when we actually worship Srimati Radharani and we pray to Srimati Radharani that we may enter Goloka Vrindavan, not just be free from sinful reactions or to merge in Brahman or even to attain Vaikuntha. No. That we may reach Goloka Vrindavan. This is the purpose of the month of Kartik. The month of Kartik is a month of festival. I came in here and it was so beautiful, with so many devotees offering a candle, a lamp, a flame to Damodar. So it's a month of festivities, and in all this suddenly comes this 5 days of austere vrat. So how do you relate this? So, Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explained that Kartik month, it's a time when we can increase our devotional service. And it says to be like a sale going on. You know, you lower the price. So, in once a year, for one full month, the price to get Krishna Prema is lowered. So, those who are not bhaktas, who are even vikarmis, karmis, jnanis, yogis, and anybody else who may walk in, the price is lowered. They just offer one candle to Damodar, and they get the opportunity to enter Vrindavan. And if we read Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explain how this Vraja Mandal is so attractive, so potent, that even a tourist can feel the effects of Vrindavan. So, this last 5 days, from what I read, actually I didn't know about it until I think the last few years, that some devotees are observing it. So it's a little austere vrat when we just have panchagavya, which are cow products, cow urine, different items that we only take these in small quantities, or we live on fruits and roots. So, not compulsory. It's not compulsory, but some devotees may feel attracted to practice this last vrata. But the point should be maintained. Because as devotees, the goal and the focus has to be maintained. What is the focus? It is that I want to please Govinda. And whatever I may do should not inhibit my remembrance of Govinda. The basic principle in sadhana bhakti is always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Therefore, however austere my vrat may be, I should never forget Krishna and always remember Krishna. And the motivation must be to please Him and not karma, jnana or yoga, which can very easily deviate us from the path of pure bhakti. So our good practices for all times, including Kartik, is Nama Ruchi, to chant the holy name with great attention, Vaishnava Seva, serving the devotees, and Jiva Daya, preaching. Preaching and bringing other people to the path of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And if there is some comments, some questions, I haven't gone over time.